Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. We have a guest today. So Steve is on Zoom with me, and we also have our guest, Cody Brown. Cody Brown, a.k.a. Pound Cake from the Alan Cox Show. And Cody's been doing sort of a written piece on the Alan Cox Show for the last couple of weeks called Pound Takes. And he did one a couple of weeks ago about, it was called White Lies Told to Black Lives. And I read it. I liked it. I think you said it's a very, important things, and a lot's gone down since then. We're talking right on the heels of the killing of George Floyd, and there's some details that I didn't know about until today when I was talking to Steve earlier. So Steve, if you would throw the put the ball in your court and talk about like what we didn't see on the tape.
Right, so what we didn't see is kind of what got us here. And you know, it was circulated that he was writing a bad check or something along those lines. And so the store called the police on him. But what had actually happened was he used a counterfeit $20 bill to buy cigarettes. What happened was they received the $20 bill. He left the store. They recognized it was a fake. So they called the police. The police got there. Floyd was still outside. And then the altercation happened that ultimately ended up in George Floyd losing his life. Now, what's important about that is the store standard procedure when they receive a counterfeit is to call the police. And that's most, you know, anywhere where you go, if they receive a counterfeit, like that's what they do. They call the police. And the reason why that's significant is because there's over $1 billion of counterfeit money in circulation at any given time in the United States. And it's the Secret Service's job to kind of track that down and to monitor it. And so what happens is, like, with that much money circulating around that's counterfeit, that's fake, anybody at any given time could have a fake $20 bill and not know it, right? You pass it on, and, you know, you've all been to the store where you give them a 20 and they use that black marker to determine if it's real or fake. That's why they're rubbing that marker on it, just determine if it's real or not, because the marker and then the real 20s, there's a reaction. And so, you know, with Floyd, he passes this on. They recognize that it's a fake, so they call the police, and the police should have come in and just said, hey, man, where did you get the 20? And that he says, I don't know. Who knows? ATM, I can't tell you. And then that pretty much should have been the end of it, and then it turns into this. I had some questions if he was writing a bad check. I had some questions about why the police were called. Why can't you just, you know, post a picture of it, like don't accept checks from this guy or something like that, and kind of be done with it. But that wasn't what happened. He just passed a $20 bill. And I don't necessarily think that this was the wrong move by the store. Now, if you want to have the argument that anytime you call the police on a black man, especially in a place like Minneapolis, Detroit, Chicago, or Cleveland, it has the potential to go wrong and this happened, then that's a different conversation. But I don't think this is like the situation in New York City where the woman called the police and said the guy was threatening her over a dog on a leash and bird watching, right? Like, I mean, I think that this was done innocently by the store, and it turned into something completely grotesque out of the police's misdeeds.
Right, and you know, again, I heard it was an alleged forgery, and I assumed a fake or a bad check or something. It wasn't even that. I mean, it's entirely possible I have a fake 20 in my pocket right now. And lots of stores don't even swipe 20s. They do 50s and 100s, but leave 20s alone. So, you know, it's very possible that I've passed a fake 20 in my life. And I would, based on the numbers you just threw out, it's probable that one or all of us has.
Yeah, I mean,
hope the feds aren't listening.
Well, I mean, the feds know it. I mean, and again, like when you got $1 billion of it in circulation, and the number may be more. I think the thing that I was watching was older. I think the documentary I was watching was like 10 years old. So that number could be even more inflated than what I saw. So, I mean, there's a lot of fake money out there, and you know, just because you have a fake $20 bill in your pocket doesn't mean that, you know, you're a part of some drug ring trying to pass off fake money to buy, you know, to buy pounds of cocaine. Although, you know,
Steve,
times is rough.
Well, so we've all seen the video, and, you know, Steve, you and I have talked about, you know, racial issues with police incidents all the time. And the two that have always been the worst in my mind have been Walter Scott, who was shot in the back while running away in South Carolina, and Sandra Bland, who had what seemed like a bullshit traffic stop ultimately ended her death. This one actually kind of hit me harder than those, because the act that led to George Floyd's death was flat out fucking sadistic. I mean, he knelt on a man's neck who was handcuffed and on the ground for 9 minutes, surrounded by three other cops and people, citizens saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" There's a lot more to talk about there, but this one really was more raw than even the other ones that we've talked about to me. And as a result, there have been, you know, protests in Minneapolis, protests in other cities, including last night. There was a protest in Atlanta, which probably was fueled in part by the Ahmaud Arbery death. And there was, CNN headquarters happens to also house a police station. And I think the protest was really about the police station and not about CNN. But there was some very shocking footage that I saw last night.
I saw that. I saw you post that. Okay. I didn't know that they housed. Okay, so that makes sense now. I didn't know that they housed a police station in there.
I didn't either. I mean, I learned about it after I saw that. Like, why the fuck are they going after CNN? But with all these protests going on, I'm going to do Steve's favorite thing for me to do. I'm going to shut the fuck up and ask a question, starting with you, Cody. What is the right way for white people to handle this from your perspective?
I mean, I would be lying if I say I knew the right way to go about this, because we are living in very weird times where information is at your disposal. Nobody knows what to believe. All I know is listen to your black friends when they tell you that they have been discriminated against. Listen to your black friends when they say that people are intimidated by them, that they have been stopped unjustly, they have been prosecuted unjustly. Listen, do your research. I mean, white privilege is a thing, and you don't know it because you're privileged. So I don't know the right way to go. I'm not going to tell you to be on the front lines of these protests / riots. I don't know if that's the right way to go about it. I have not protested. I haven't been in one of these things, so I don't know the exact way to go about it. I know that I'm very lucky in the aspect of my mom and other people used to tell me growing up, you're passing. Like, you are so lucky you can pass. And I never really knew what that meant. I was like, oh, so I can pass for a white person for what? So I don't get profiled in a store, so I can hang out with white friends or something like that. No, they meant, you know, if I get into, if I'm in a traffic stop, or if I get stopped by the police or whatever, I might actually come out with my life. I didn't realize that that's what they meant by passing. So, I mean, I'm part of it too. I'm lucky in the aspect that I haven't had too many times that I was profiled, but it has happened. And people who know me that, like, why are you profiling me? I'm the least intimidating person ever, if you were to know me. So anyone who would profile me or discriminate against me, it would be from pure prejudice. So listen to your black friends and you know, be there and follow your heart. I feel like people know the right thing to do, but they ignore that because of their politics or what their family or friends would think about them. We are human beings, and we have to care for the human race. All lives do matter, but all lives are not being murdered right now. Black lives really need our help.
Steve, you want to carry from there?
Yeah, and to piggyback off of it, you know, if you do know me, I can't come across as intimidating. And I have been profiled. You know, I've been stopped for not having a front license plate, pulled out of my car, handcuffed, and put in the back of a police car while they searched my vehicle. I've been, followed all the way into my driveway of my home because I turned right on red, and it wasn't illegal. It's just that, you know, it said, you know, you couldn't take a right on red between this time and that time. And I set my clocks ahead in my truck 10 minutes fast you know, just because I'm a weirdo. And so when I look at the clock in my truck, oh, it's 4:40. So I take the right-hand turn. Police sees me, pulls all the way into my driveway, you know, follows me into my driveway, pulls me out of my car, does the same thing, handcuffs me, puts me in the back of a police cruiser for a right on, you know, an illegal right on red, where he's pulling me over in my driveway, where he has my license that says, this is my address, right? I mean, and it's just like, you know, does he do that to, you know, one of my white neighbors? Does he do that to, you know, a white teenage girl or something along those lines? No, right? And they've even told me that, well, it's for their safety and my safety, right? So you need to handcuff me and put me in the back of the car for my safety? I mean, what exactly do you think is going to happen here? You know, so, you know, like those are some of the milder experiences. I've had worse. You know, some of my experiences in Chicago were pretty rough. You know, just from, you know, walking down the street, you know, with the book bag on, you know, being stopped because I was told I looked like a bank robbery suspect, even though there was no news of a bank robbery having happened. It's just all these different things that have happened over time, and you deal with it, right? As a black person, you just deal with it. You know, you've been told growing up that these things are going to happen. And so, you know, at least I was told at a young age that you have to have tough skin. You have to be smart. You have to know how to get yourselves out of these situations alive. And then when they happen, you don't fight, you try to avoid the altercations, and you just try to get out of it, and you do. And these things happen, but over time, like, there's a anger and there's a bitterness that builds up. And so what my message to white people is, like, you got to understand where this anger is coming from, right? And you got to understand that, you know, how many times has someone told you about the way that they've been treated and you ignored it, or you poo-pooed it, or you tried to sweep it under the rug, or you tried to make a joke about it and move on because you felt uncomfortable, you didn't hear them out, you didn't want to listen to it. And every time you do that, that only builds that anger and that animosity and that frustration. And so now you have these incidents that happen, whether it's Ahmaud Arbery or Breonna Taylor or, you know, George Floyd or Walter Scott or Tamir Rice or Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, like these things that they happen. And, you know, these black people, it's not just the murders. It's not just these massive events that are the catalyst. What's happening is that over time, you have police that do these petty things that they give black people tickets that they would never give a white person a ticket for. They pull you over and they harass you. They make you feel uncomfortable. They let you know that they're in charge. They basically try to bully you. And for the most part, most people don't resist. They just have to deal with it, right? But you do that time and time again, right? You take money out of people's pockets. You take away their time. You arrest them for things that you would never arrest other civilians for. It's not reasonable. It's not fair. And over time, that anger builds, right? And when that anger builds, it explodes. You can only, like I've been saying this nonstop lately, but you can only keep your foot on a tiger's neck for so long. And what I mean by that is, listen, the black population in these cities outnumbers the police 5-1. Everywhere you go, maybe 10-1. Right, there's a small number of police in the country. There's 450,000 cops across the U.S., period. There are 350 million people in the U.S., so there's only so many police, right? And the police use power, intimidation, they've got guns, they've got badges. But here's the deal. This is the United States. We all got fucking guns. Jim's got a gun right there. I've got a gun over here. I've got two guns in my house. Everybody's got fucking guns in the United States, right? So now at some point in time, you get more people who also have guns who don't give a fuck anymore, who are just tired and fed up of these sort of things happening to people like us, and white people don't give a shit, then guess what? Your city gets burned out. Oh, well, that doesn't help anything. Well, when we tried to do it peacefully, that didn't help anything. Colin Kaepernick just tried to kneel at a football game, and you guys banished him from the fucking league that he played in, right? We had peaceful protests. The last time we had a peaceful protest, he said, well, that doesn't count because somebody in your protest said something about pigs and bacon, so that makes it a legitimate protest. Oh, this protest doesn't count because you got into traffic and you made things, you know, you screwed up my day, right? So we try to do it the peaceful way, and you have a problem with it. So now you don't want to listen. You don't want to play by your own fucking rules. You want to continue to move the goalposts. So now your city gets burned down. Now your city gets burned down. You're outnumbered. We don't give a fuck about your guns. We don't give a fuck about your badges. We don't give a fuck about your batons. I don't care about the good cops. Because here's the problem. The good cops didn't give a fuck about the good black people. There are bad black people, right? Like, there's about 10% of us who fucking suck, right? There's about 10% of black people who just fucking suck. They're fucking degenerates. They suck, right? But guess what? 90% of us don't. We work. We work hard. We're educated. We're out in our communities. We're doing everything we can. We're trying to help that 10% that actually do suck. But yet, we get profiled. We get the hammer put down on all of us. Like, that 10% represents all of us. So now, here, we're using your same logic against you. Not all black people suck, but you're going to treat us all like shit. So here's the deal. We're going to come and fuck all you up. We're going to burn this bitch down. And now we're going to rebuild it. You need to rebuild it with our image and kind. And if you can't fucking do it, we'll burn it down again. So if you don't like this to continue to happen, and you don't think that looting is the way, then you better diagnose the disease as opposed to the symptom. Because otherwise, the symptom is just going to keep reoccurring. So what you do is you listen, and you work with people, and you listen, and you're honest with them. And if you don't understand it, just say, I don't understand you. Okay, and I don't need you to say, hey, man, I totally get it. Sometimes you just saying, man, I don't know what you're going through, but that sounds like it fucking sucks. Like, sometimes that's all somebody needs. I don't know. That's my suggestion.
Okay, well, how'd I do it shutting the fuck up?
Good. First time, but good.
Thank you.
Good.
A lot of history here, Cody. Sorry to drag you into that.
No, you're good.
But former Officer Derek Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder, which is a charge, Steve. Have you had a chance to look at the details of what makes third-degree murder third-degree murder?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know what that – I mean, I've looked at it briefly, and I think it's the equivalent of, like, an aggressive manslaughter.
Okay.
And he also got manslaughter, too. But there's only, like, 5 states in the country that have third-degree murder.
Yeah, I didn't really dig into it, but, it seems like a relatively light charge, but – and I don't know what the penalties are either.
I think 25 years is what I heard.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a decent chunk of time, you know, and all things considered, the guy is in his, you know, what, late 40s, early 50s.
I would guess.
You know, so if he did get that, assuming that he didn't get out early, that's a pretty good chunk of time. But, I'm not real familiar with what the sentence looks like and what those charges entail.
George Zimmerman was arrested, though. Like, just because he had charges put on him don't mean he's going to be convicted. I read a story, and then again, there is a slew of information out there. I don't know if all my sources are correct, but I saw that these officers that didn't get charged, that everyone was saying they also need to be charged, they were saying they're going to plead the fifth, they're not going to cooperate. Like, so, I mean...
So, yeah, I want to talk about that. So, Derek Chauvin, like I said, I saw that. It was one of the sadistic things I've ever seen. It lasted 8 minutes. Cody, a long time ago, we talked about the shooting of Laquan McDonald on the show, and he was shot over a 14-second period of time. And we literally went silent for 14 seconds just so people could appreciate how long that was. We're not going to go silent for 8 minutes, but to intentionally injure a person for 8 minutes when they're telling you they can't breathe, when they're telling you you're, you know, killing them, this guy is, I normally try to hesitate, like, you know, identifying people and calling them a piece of shit. I have no problem doing that to Derek Chauvin. Fuck him. Having said that, there's a big, and I also want to commend the mayor of Minneapolis for firing these guys like that. He didn't hide behind the ongoing investigation bullshit. He saw what he saw and said, you can't have a gun badge anymore. Bye-bye. But before we get into Derek Chauvin so much, the disease, as Steve was mentioning before, is the 3 officers standing by who didn't stop this. You know, if civilians enter into that and try to stop it, they're running the risk of being in the exact same position. I understand why civilians can't intervene in that without serious risk, but those 3 other officers standing by watching this happen and doing nothing other than holding civilians away, glad they're fired, fuck them too, but to cure the disease, I think they have to be charged with something. They have to be convicted because other cops have to know, fuck the thin blue line. We need to make sure when we're watching one of our fellow officers do something this egregious that we don't honor the code of, you know,
the thin blue line. Now, the one interesting thing about this situation is that, you know, I have a number of friends that are in law enforcement. that I went to high school with, or just, you know, Cleveland police that I've made friends with over the years. And this is the first time I've seen them speak out on something like this. There's been plenty of shit that's happened in the last 10 years, and they all go silent. Right? You don't hear a single thing from them. Their Facebook pages disappear. I'm sure they fade into their, you know, private groups or whatever, but their pages have nothing on them. This is the first time of all these incidences, from Mike Brown to Tamir Rice to Trayvon Martin to, you know, even Arbery, right? And you started to see some things break with Arbery a little bit, because that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a police shooting, you know, that was right. Just a, right, like, and you started to kind of see it crack a little bit, but this is clear as day a police killing, and multiple police officers have come out and said flat out wrong. Like, everything about it is wrong. Like, you know, using that for that amount of time, you know, given what that guy was saying. And I've never seen this visceral of a response in favor of the victim come from not only police, but, you know, even white conservative commentators, right? Like, I mean, people that are usually viscerally against anything racial, right? They want to remove race from everything. Like, even those sort of people have come out. I think, Jim, you said Rush Limbaugh even said, that's murder, right? I mean, and you never see people like that. So, I mean, I think you're exactly right that part of the disease is the apathy of other officers, right? They're not necessarily doing the thing, but they also don't do anything about the thing that's happening. And, you know, that needs to cost these officers their badge, their gun, and their freedom. And, you know, that needs to serve as a message. Like, you can no longer justify allowing these things to go on around you in the name of the thin blue line and in the name of the brotherhood, right? Like, you have a job to do, and there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And if someone's doing it the wrong way, then you need to hold them accountable. And if not, and you didn't say anything and you were there, then now you have to be held accountable as well. Like, that's something that needs to be permeated throughout every police agency that's out there. Some are better than others, and some don't need that, but others clearly do. And Minneapolis is a place that needs it, given their track record and their history.
Right. I mean, we've talked about two other killings, unjustified killings in Minneapolis. The Australian woman whose name I forget, and a Philando Castile, which was also an egregious use of excessive force.
And but, what's interesting is Philando Castile, that cop, did not get, you know, was, you know, he was charged and tried and ended up not being found guilty. But the Australian woman, that cop who happened to be black and a Somali, I think he had immigrated here from Somalia. Or maybe his parents were Somali, but he ended up being found guilty and he went to jail for what he did. Now, his situation was ridiculous. I mean, he shot past his partner. So I think that it was the right thing for him to go to jail, but I also think that the cop who shot Philando Castile should have went to jail, right? I mean, and so the issue that they have in Minneapolis is, you know, white cops kill black people. It's fine. You figure out a way to justify it. This black cop who kills someone, which shouldn't have been justified, he goes to jail. And it's that inconsistency along with their history. This cop, Derek Chauvin, I mean, he had 18 different, like, counts of you know, or complaints against him of excessive force and other things. He shot. This is the first person he's killed, right? Like, I mean, he killed another person. And then Amy Klobuchar, who was some person that I thought may have been a good VP candidate, she went and, like, when she was, I think she was attorney general or head prosecutor in the state, she didn't bring charges against Derek Chauvin at the time. And it seems like, while it wasn't quite as clear cut as this, it was still a pretty bad case that they swept under the rug. And now here we are.
So she is vehemently denying that she was asleep at the wheel on that. I don't know, but she's
You're in charge. I get you.
But again, to me, the reason this is so much more visceral is in those shooting incidents, it was clearly poorly trained cops who reacted in seconds. This guy was on his neck for 8 fucking minutes, and I just can't believe that anyone, and like you said, Steve, no one is defending this guy. Rush Limbaugh, actually, Cody, I learned about that listening to the Alan Cox show.
Yeah.
But when Rush Limbaugh comes out against the cops in a situation where there's a racial killing, that's unmarked territory or new territory. And then, so there's a protest going on in Cleveland right now as we're speaking. It'll have happened by the time this, you know, gets published. And sorry, we had technical difficulties. Sorry. You're fine.
Hold on. You guys keep talking.
Yeah. I'll put so, Cody, you said you're not going to the protests. I'm not going to the protests because I don't know what good it does. And I frankly don't want to be around if there's a, you know, if something goes down. I mean, I kind of sound like a pussy saying that.
But, no, I mean, that's justified. I mean, if you see, I mean, it's close as Columbus. I mean, there was right. some rioting there. So it could happen. And like I said, there I don't know the proper way to go about this because I don't know. I saw a quote, and I don't know if it's true because then again, it was on social media. But, you know, rioting is the voice of the unheard. But I don't know if a boycott or a sit-in would work nowadays. I don't know. I don't know if that would be truly effective. We are citizens now, and we're very privileged in the fact that we can look online and see what we want and believe what we want, and we can go about our day. But as far as, like, protesting goes, you have to have people in power that care. I mean, we had a huge turnout the day after Trump was inaugurated for the Women's March.
Right.
And what did that do? They're still passing legislation to you know, make sure women can't get the care that they need at
Planned Parenthood.
You know, they're still closing that stuff down. They're making it really hard for abortions, which it was a Supreme Court case. It's already been passed. Like, so there's only so much you can do. So I'm not going to say I condone the rioting. I understand people are frustrated. I understand people are angry because, as you said, I wrote my column 2 weeks ago and it was about the Ahmaud Arbery shooting. And I thought that was outrageous. I can't keep watching these videos. I didn't watch this one. I already knew what was in it. I knew what I was looking for when I went on there, and I can't have that on my heart anymore. I don't want to see somebody get murdered. So I kind of just like tuned out and just focused. But yeah, I wrote that column 2 weeks ago about one of the many shootings that went on. And look what happened within that 2 weeks. We had the young woman that was shot and killed in her own home by the police intruding, you know, and then we have this one. And so I hate to say that it's like now just a number and I can't keep track, but I'm having a real hard time keeping track. So, I mean, I understand people are angry, and enough is enough.
You know, and when we talk about the numbers, that you know, when you break it all down, the big defense is, well, police shoot more white people than they do black people, right? Like, so what's the big deal, right? Like, they're like, they actually shoot more white people than they do black people, and you break the number down. So I go through that. I've done it a number of times, right? And on average, the police kill 1,000 people a year, right? Like, so there are 1,000 state-sanctioned murders that occur on average every year, right? Like, so every 3 years, the police take out the equivalent of 9/11. Now, of those, more than half, they say, are justified, right? But who's determining justification, right? The police are the police, or the police are the ones policing the police. So they're the ones that are determining whether it's justified or not. And some are, right? Like, there are some legitimately crazy people out there that are, you know, that will try to shoot their way out of a situation when they're cornered. So, okay, fine. You've got justified situations. But again, that number, 1,000 people, right? Like, so yes, you're right. The police do shoot more white people than they do black people. And if you want to throw out the fact that that's not adjusted for per capita, right? Like, it doesn't really, you're not really looking at the ratio, because if you're looking at the ratio, then white people are underrepresented by the number of times that they're killed by police, because there's so many more white people in the country than there are black people. So that number of 250 or 270 or however many people that they kill is really, really a small drop in the bucket compared to the total number of people that they had. And for Black people, there's so few of us, the fact that we're so close to the number of white people that are killed is really where the egregiousness comes from. But even if you just ignore that, and you're a white person, why are you so comfortable with the state, with the police killing 1,000 people a year? And you're not knowing a damn thing about it other than the worst, most egregious cases when it's Black people. Why are you comfortable with that many people who look like you being killed in the street by police, by the people who are here to protect and serve? But there needs to be an additional layer of review and analysis when this sort of shit happens. Like the fact that we're just okay with it, and their defense is, well, they kill more of us than they do of you, and we don't make a big deal of it, so I don't see where your big deal is. That's the part that gets me. It's like, why the fuck aren't you more concerned? Right? And I get it, statistically, it's not going to happen to you. But at the same time, the fact that it's happening and at the number that it's happening, right? And they say, oh, well, there's 350 million people. If 1,000 people get killed by police, it's fine. It's not fine. I'm not okay with that. I mean, that's a large high school. There's a million different ways you can say, all right, this is 1,000 people to show. And as a country, that's something that we should not be okay with, right? When you look at a map and you see all those dots, right? I mean, that's terrifying. On average, you have 15,000 people that are killed across the United States in homicides, right? 15,000, right? So, you know, think about that number. Like 1,000 of those are police, right? And that's just, to me, that it boggles my mind that people haven't been able to come together on this sooner with larger numbers when you really think about the impact that these sort of things have, right? I mean, in those numbers, because 1,000 people are still a lot of fucking people.
And to your point, Cody, you know, social media is why any of us have seen this, and modern technology is why any of us have seen this. If this happened 10, 15 years ago, there'd be a police report in Minneapolis that said, George Floyd resisted arrest, officer used, you know, reasonable force, and a police, if we're lucky, an internal affairs person would look at it, read the report, talk to the three other officers, say, is that true, what happened? And they would all go, yep, that's exactly how it went down. And no one outside of Minneapolis would hear a thing, and people around the country wouldn't witness this horrible thing, and it would just be swept under the rug. So the benefit of technology is showing up here, and it's exposing a reality that's been true for a long time. We just never heard about it, or in this case, saw it.
Yeah, I think Will Smith said racism is not getting worse, it's getting filmed. So,
that's right. By the way, the quote you did earlier, I believe, was Martin Luther King. So it's a real quote.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, it was memed. Like I said, I take everything I see online with a grain of salt. So yeah, it's not like I looked up the quote or something, but it on my feed.
Well, you got that one right.
But yeah,
if I'm wrong, Steve will pounce on me like that, and he hasn't. So
these are facts. These are facts.
Okay,
you guys are both correct.
So I am. So Cody, on your show, you're sort of a satirical Trump supporter. On this show, I am a vocal Trump anti fan. Uh-huh. And I don't blame this incident on him, but I do. What's that?
It's a lot of awkward phrasing there.
Yes, there was. Thank you. But I put a lot of criticism on him because this is a time when you need a president to be a calming voice, a rational voice, someone who sounds like he represents the whole country. And he put out that tweet that said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. And then he backtracked and said what he, quote unquote, really meant. But your dumbass said those words, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. And you're basically sounding like you're trying to stir up more violence. Presidents can't do that. Leaders can't do that. If people say I've got Trump derangement syndrome, say it all you want. But I've credited him with a few things that I think he's done right. I do think he owns responsibility for handling this terribly. Not even getting into the whole fact that we're still in a pandemic that he fucked up too. But where do you two stand on Trump's handling of this recent of the killing of George Floyd?
I mean, I don't trust anything he says or does, honestly. I know I play that part on the show, but it's honestly, it's comical because the character that I play is literally just based off everyone else's insecurities on, you know, where they stand as far as Trump. because it's just so simple-minded. You could just take everything he says and then automatically believe it. Like we were talking about, we played a clip of some woman who was telling her doctor that she had, her saying that her doctor had Trump derangement syndrome because he wouldn't prescribe her
hydroxychloroquine.
Chloroquine, because, you know, just in case she wanted to have COVID. And Trump sits there in front of all the press and says that he's been taking it for a while. Well, first you said that it was it would cure COVID. It could cure COVID. So if you don't have COVID, why would you be taking it? And then he's saying, yeah, it's a preventative. So I don't believe anything he says. He is, to me, a celebrity in chief. he uses his celebrity to get everywhere he wants to go. And I don't trust him with anything. I don't think we're going to get out of this pandemic with his leadership, and we're certainly not going to get out of a race war with him. So I kind of take him out of it. I think everyone else kind of like X's him out of it too. Yes, he has the title of president, but no one is looking towards Trump to be like, you know, what should we do next? Like, no one's looking towards him. The mayor is taking charge, and he was very vocal about how he wanted those men charged. The governor, I haven't heard anything from him, but apparently he's a Trump ally. So, but it's happening all over the country, and I don't think anyone's looking towards Washington to stop this, because he is the same president that said there's very nice people on both sides when we were at in Virginia. So, I don't think anyone's looking towards his leadership.
You know, my issue, you know, I've said from the beginning, and a lot of people look at me really sideways when I say this, that I don't think Trump is a racist, right? Racists fall into like a couple categories, like just purely ignorant, grew up in Appalachia, never seen a black person, only heard stories. And so, you know, they still literally believe that the Civil War is going on, and they're just kind of, you know, it's just pure ignorance, right? And then you have those like purely evil Klan hood, like hooded, you know, we're going to clear out the blacks and the Jews and the Arabs and all of them, and we're going to make a pure white state. And then you have the people that are in between, that are, it's a lot of ignorance and bias and prejudice. And then that goes into a whole different social, you know, conversation. But with Trump is an elitist and an opportunist, right? And from the get-go, Trump saw an opportunity to catapult himself ahead by playing on, Cody, like you said, some of the insecurities and fears of people who have racial bias. Right. And he played on it because he knew that he could. He's always done it. Right. Like he played on it because he knew that he could. Right. If he thought that going the other way, right, towards the progressive left was a winner for him, then he would have done it. Right. But he saw an opportunity and he's played on it and he's used it to his advantage over and over and over again, because with Trump, it's about power. It's about money. It's about his ego and narcissism, right? And so the more he feeds this beast of those people who have those biases, you know, who have those insecurities, right, and he can reaffirm those for him, it's like his energy source.
Nah, right? I that's where I have to disagree with you. I think he is a racist, and he's the worst type of racist, because he is a person of means. He's never been poor. He's always had access, and he always has been privileged. And when you have those type of opportunities and you don't take full advantage of it, you can go across the world and see how other people live, and you can explore different cultures. He wasted that. He wasted it. Think of how great of a president. I don't think there will ever be a president that could have done more for society than Trump. It was a great opportunity, just fell by the wayside, honestly.
He's,
no.
He's an idiot, so I mean, I'm not sure how he was supposed to. So, I mean, like, the dude's not that bright. So, I mean, I mean, he's a strategist. The dude's an opportunist.
You're giving him way too much credit. I
think you're giving him too much credit, and I think that like when you look at his track, when you look at his track record from before he was a president, when he was in New York, and you look at who he interacted with, how he interacted with him, what he's doing right now. I mean, he is playing everybody in this whole fucking thing, right? And now the issue is, this is where Trump's issue is, right? He's stuck because people who normally he could feed the whole thing of the race thing, and this is all about the, you know, the thin blue line about supporting the police. Now the people who normally would buy into that, they're not saying that, right? So he can't sell that, right? He tried and it fucked up, right? And he's too close to an election. So now all he can do, he's got to, like, his only play, because if he goes back and he goes the other direction, he feels that opens up, that poses a weakness for him. So he can't go back the other direction and be too compassionate towards the situation knowing what it is, right? So now he's basically got to skip over it. He had a press conference yesterday where he could have addressed this and he could have said something, but he didn't, right? He just makes the focus on China, Hong Kong, no questions, get out, right? And he wants to get past it, right? He was hoping that this would be something that would take attention away from COVID, and it did. But the problem is it didn't go the way that he wanted to, so he can't really play off of it. So now he said, all right, well, I'm going to pull us out of the World Health Organization. We're going to say some shit about Hong Kong, but basically we're going to fuck Hong Kong over. And then hopefully we'll get through all this. It'll be over, and we'll move on to the next thing, because I can't actually deal with this because there's no way I can deal with it and come out looking any better.
Nah, see, I do think he's a racist. I mean, I think he is a white supremacist. People always think that, oh, well, Donald Trump took pictures with black people or black rappers and all that. And I remind them, I'm like, even the slave masters were having sex with their female slaves. Like, that means nothing. He will, yes, he is a user and he will use you to his advantage. That doesn't mean he's not racist.
I think you're also missing my, like, I'm not saying he's a good guy. Right, I'm not saying that he's I think he's got plenty of dark in him, right? But I think his whole motive of being is a manipulator and a user and an opportunist to move himself.
Sure,
to, sure. Know? I mean, he is and the race and all the I mean, you could like and to me that's just. It's just so much more dangerous to me, right? Because like the racism is there, but his willingness to tear apart the Constitution, right? A lot of the shit that he's doing that's most egregious has nothing to do with fucking race, right? I mean, like some of the things he's doing with getting, you know, trying to get Flynn out of the situation that he goes to tell the Department of Justice, like, well, just drop the charges, right? Completely ignoring our criminal justice system and some of the other things that he's doing. Like, those things are about him and his power and his ability to manipulate the system. And manipulating the system in the way that he's doing it, that's what's so fucking dangerous to me. Beyond that, like, yes, the racist shit out there is absolutely, I'm not ignoring that, but I'm saying the pressure and the assault that he's putting on our system, to me, is the thing that worries me the most and the reason why he has got to fucking go.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. But I think the main reason why he's not addressing the race problem is because it's not a race problem to him. He doesn't think about it. It's not something that's on his mind. And that is someone who is racist. I mean, I just know from I don't even take it from, you know, what I read. I just from things that I hear from people that have known him. We've had guests on the show that have known Donald Trump for years and that have known him in New York City. And, you know, off they may say one thing on air. But then off air, I want to get my own perspective and for my own knowledge. And I'm like, you know, is everything, how is Donald Trump in real life? You've known him, like, and do we have something to worry about? And they said, yeah, he's a racist. He's a racist and he's going to get us into trouble. And he said it plain and simple, just like that. So I'm not even taking this from me. I'm just taking from people that have known him and that have worked with him and know more than just what is the TV personality, Donald Trump. Yeah, he's a racist. And the reason why he's not addressing the race issue is because it's not a race issue to him. Yeah, he has bigger problems to worry about. He wants to get his friends out of prison. He wants to get the people that have been loyal to him. Those are the people that are not addressing the issue and stigma in this country, because it's the way it's always been. They're old school guys and they do things the old school way. And if I'm not going to out you because I have dirt, and you're not going to out me because I got dirt on you. And that's what it is. That's essentially what it is.
So I think we can all agree he's a narcissistic elitist. Whether or not race drives that or is his narcissism and his elitism, the, you know, either way, not a good guy. And I think we're all on the same page there. And this is a time where, you know, having a Barack Obama, I'm going to say something that you will almost never hear me say, George W. Bush would be a better guy to have in the office right now. I mean,
can you believe that? Can you believe people hated Bush? Like, oh, worst president ever. People hated Bush when he was in office.
I still do. And one of the things I have against Trump is that George Bush ends up getting a pass on what a fucking horrible president he was because of this clown.
Like, I look at TV now, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, George Bush seems like a fun guy to get a beer with. I can't believe it.
That's why he got elected. But he was also a guy who chose to start a war. This could diverge into me going nuts, but let's not let that happen. So earlier I said that I think the three officers who stood by and did nothing are the ones that really have the chance to change, you know, the way police look at this, even if it's on out of fear on the part of future officers. If the guys who stood around and did nothing face consequences, and they already have been fired, so that's a start. But if they face criminal consequences, then the next time a cop sees a cop doing something out of line, he's going to say, you're not going to turn me into, I don't even know the names of the other three dudes, but you're not going to turn me into one of those bystanders in Minnesota. So knock that shit off. I'd like to hear both of your thoughts on that.
Well, Cody, go ahead, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on where you are, man. It just depends on what state you are, what state you're in, and who is running the justice system in your department, and who, if it's coming from the top, like Donald Trump, just like he got his friend Flynn out, he could, you know, get these other guys off if they face federal charges. I mean, if they're tried by the state, it goes down to the governor, you know, and the Department of Justice for that state. I mean, do you think if this was in Texas, you know, the guys would be facing the same wrath? I don't know. I don't know.
In this case, I do think they would go.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, something like this, I don't know if it really matters where it happens. If you've got the same footage and, you know, all things being the same in a different location, I'm not sure if there's a place anywhere where these cops, you know, get an easy path. I mean, even if, you know, Texas is a very police-friendly state, but Amber Geiger walked in the wrong apartment and shot a guy, and I was worried she wasn't going to go to jail, and she did. So I think that even in Texas, these guys would be facing a wrath. Now, would Texas go? Would you see this sort of pushback in Texas from you know, people in the city? That's a good question. That I don't know, and I think that the Texas police would probably be more aggressive with the crowd, and so who knows how that all goes? And I think, you know, if the additional cops receive charges and they go to jail, is that a message to other police? I think it really comes down to the individual officer. Uh-huh. Because I think we're already seeing, like I said earlier, you know, and I'm seeing police, not just from Cleveland, I'm seeing Youngstown police, Cleveland police, police in D.C., police in Texas. A friend of mine is a cop down in Texas. And a group of his friends, they all came out and took a picture and said that they were against it. I mean, you're seeing a lot of people who normally don't say shit about this sort of thing speak out and just say, this is something that is so damaging to what we do, right, to the whole, that we can't stand by and say nothing, right? And so is this the incident, as ugly as it is, to get the people inside these police departments to make the necessary changes? Meaning that you have a team meeting with your squad or however it's broken down, and you say, look, if you see somebody, one of your coworkers or whatever doing something out of line, you gotta step in. There is no more, you know, good old boys club where we're protecting each other, because now this shit is getting out of hand. Look where it's got us, right? I mean, like, they literally burned the third precinct down in Minneapolis. Like, I mean, and people always talk about looting, like, oh, you're hurting your looting Target, you're hurting your stores and CVS. And Minneapolis said, you know what, we're right. So we're going to go to the heart of the problem, which is the police precinct, and they burn the bitch down, right? And to me, that is actually the right call. And there are police officers who are going to be like, oh, there's plenty of good cops in there. Yeah, and those good cops should have stopped Derek Chauvin a long fucking time ago because this guy's got a fucking track record. And you knew he was the fucking dick. You didn't do anything about it. And now he cost all of you. And that's on you because you knew what was fucking going on. Right? Don't tell me because, I mean, everybody, listen, I work at a gym where I work out at a gym where we got a ton of cops who work there. They know who's fucking good and they know who's bad. They make the choice to not step in and not do anything. Right? They make that choice every fucking day. Right? So when this sort of shit happens, yeah, it is on you. Don't give me that, I'm a good cop, I shouldn't have to be. Fuck you. You know, and I've already given my reasoning for why I don't feel bad for you, because the same reason why you profiled me, and I'm not a fucking criminal to any fucking standard, the same reason why you're getting profiled as a fucking bad cop when you could have done something to stop these others. Anyway, go ahead.
Steve, to your point, a lot of this comes down to the fact that the people policing the police are the police.
Yes.
And if there was an independent view of these things, if every time a civilian died in the custody of police, there was a check. There's internal affairs,
internal affairs is limited, one, because they are also police, and two, like, police aren't going to talk to them, right? And like, there's trust issues and things like that, and you know, those people have to deal with being outsiders looking in. So you should have a completely objective third party that looks at it. And we talked to Mike Wood. You know, we used to talk to Mike Wood, who was a Baltimore cop who had experience on multiple different levels with this. And, you know, he really gave a number of ideas and ways to address this, right? As someone who worked on the inside and who was a part of the problem and flipped the switch and became a part of the solution and now is, you know, kind of doing his own thing, he wrote a book about it. He's talked about it several times. And now he's at a point where I can only say so much. At some point in time, as a city and as a location, you've got to go out and you've got, like, here it is, here's a blueprint. Now you figure out how it works for you. But how it works is not police policing police. How it works is community involvement, holding these different police stations accountable for their actions on every different level, right? From spending to use of force to hiring to all those sort of things. And when you get that sort of buy-in from the community, then a lot of this shit changes. But until you, we don't have enough examples of it, right? I mean, there are examples of it, but there aren't enough of them. But that's the sort of, that's how you fix this, right? Is accountability besides, right. Some group, that's literally like, I mean, there's so many bad examples, but it's like a restaurant. Like if a restaurant gives you food poisoning and then you call the restaurant and say, hey, I got food poisoning. Well, that the health inspector comes in. You're not going to leave it up to that restaurant to solve the fucking problem. Like you call in the health inspector. So that's the solution right there.
Okay, I agree.
I mean, to a degree. I mean, it's a more complex issue than that. But
sure. Cody, I have a question for you, and what I'm going to say, don't hold back. If I offend you, I apologize. That's certainly not my intention. But I've made a statement in the past that I've gotten a lot of heat for, and I'd like your opinion on it as a black man who is also openly gay. I've said in the past that when a white person calls themselves woke, they're kind of being a douchebag. They're kind of giving themselves credit for something like, oh, I get it. And they're giving themselves a title. I believe the title is a good one, but I don't think it should be self-awarded. But I also would call myself an ally when it comes to LGBTQ issues. And I don't consider that a self-congratulation. I consider that me saying, well, I might not be part of this group. I have friends in this group. I stand by this group. So calling myself an ally isn't patting myself on the back like calling myself woke. Can I have your feedback on that? And again, please don't hold back. Your thoughts.
Well, you can be an ally and you can be woke and you can call yourself an ally and be woke. But when we need you to be an ally, be an ally. Don't say you're an ally. And then when we need you on the front lines protesting our rights, or we need you to vote a certain way, we need you to be an ally. If you call yourself woke and you're not woke on the injustices that black people are facing, and we need you to be on the front lines, we need you to protest, we need you to vote a certain way, don't call yourself woke. So you can give yourself that title, but one of these days we're going to call you on it and we're going to need you. And we're going to say, what have you done that has made you woke? And if you blow my wig back and tell me all the stuff that you've done for our community, then yeah, I'd be like, well, yeah, you are woke. You are an ally. Well,
okay. So you're saying essentially that they are in the same boat.
Yeah, but see, and that's the thing. I have a problem with these titles anyways, because the title I give myself is a double whammy, because I'm black and I'm gay, and I've never been black enough. This is how I've been treated my whole life. I've never been black enough to hang with the black crowd in school, and I've never been white enough to hang with the white crowd in school. I've faced injustice both ways, and then throw being gay in there, then you have a very distinct minority. So I am what I am. So people can call themselves what they want, but other people have a right to call you on it. So yeah, I mean, do what you feel, man.
Okay. Well, and I know, to your point, actions matter a whole lot more than words. I can say I'm woke, and if I then go out and, you know,
call the police on somebody because they tell
exactly
you to put a leash on your dog, then, you know, and that matters, because that woman's a Democrat, and, you know, I guess right? An avid, I don't know.
She was a Hillary Clinton supporter, right?
Or whatever. So, I mean,
we'll call you Central Park Cedric. That's it. Like, you're going to get a nickname. You're going to get something. If you want to call yourself woke, be prepared to be woke at all times, because that's what being woke is. If you say that you're an ally, be prepared to be an ally at all times, because if there's one thing the gay community knows how to do, is to cancel people. So if you want to call yourself an ally, you better be an ally, because we will call you on your shit immediately.
You know, and Jim, I have an issue with the titles, right? I mean, I just, like, you know, especially, like, self-given titles, right? Like, just, I don't fucking need to know your fucking title. I don't need to know that you're an ally. I don't need to know that you're fucking woke. Just fucking do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I see it in your actions, Jim, all the time, with your compassion, your empathy, and how you interact with people, and your willingness to help people. Like, that's what fucking matters to me. I don't need you to call yourself an ally. You don't need to fucking tell me. You don't need to tell anybody. You just do it the way that you do it, right? And then that's what shines through. As soon as you start assigning labels, then labels offer constriction, right? Like, because if you do something outside of that label, now all of a sudden people are just like, well, hold on, but the label, right? Like, and you may not necessarily agree with everything that Cody does or everything that a movement has to say about it. And so once you start labeling yourself, then you back yourself into a corner where you now then have to explain, like, well, I am, but with this, right? Like, and you're allowed to disagree. Like, you can still be a full-fledged supporter and just be like, guys, I think this is a bad move, or I think it's a bad idea, or, you know, well, this person is this for you from terms of voting, in terms of everything else, they're a fucking abomination. And so you need to be able to stand, you know, by your convictions and not be backed into these corners by giving yourself a label, which is why, you know, I shed the whole, you know, Democrat, Republican thing. Like, don't even call me an independent, man. I'm just a fucking voter, right? I vote, you know, for my interest, for what matters. And if there's a person who labels themselves as a Republican, but yet everything in their message and everything that they say that they're going to do and their 10-point plan are all things that impact me and the people that I love positively, like, well, then I don't give a fuck if his name is if he's a Republican. It looks like the motherfucker's going to do what I need him to do. So that's who I vote for. So fuck the titles, right? The titles are what get people in fucking trouble, right? That's what sets a lot of these people up to get canceled, right? Because they say that they're one thing, and then all of a sudden that they do something a little bit off brand, and then you've got some really petty people out there who'll be like, oh, well, you said a title, you didn't do this, so you're gone. Right? Like, I mean, and I just think it just allows you to be a little bit more nimble in this. And with these times, there's so much information. You've got social media out there. You have to be able to move the way you need to move to protect yourself and actually to stand up for what you believe. So get rid of the titles.
All right. That's well said in both of you. We're right at about an hour. Cody, do you want to pitch your social media? And
Sure. Yeah, you guys can follow me at Radio Cody B. That's on Twitter and Instagram. And then we're on Monday through Friday, the Alan Cox Show, 2 to 6:30 p.m. So, and we're on iHeartRadio too, 100.7 WMMS.
Very good. We are at Whiskey Congress on social media, on Instagram. I'm Jim_WhiskeyKong on Twitter. Steve handles the Whiskey Congress at Whiskey Congress Twitter account. You can email me, jim@whiskeycongress.com, if you want to say something to me. Steve can be emailed at steve@whiskeycongress.com. Cody, thanks a lot for coming on. It was a good conversation, and
appreciate
certainly a time when I thought we were going to talk about your original writing, but so much shit has gone down since then, it was impossible not to.
It's irrelevant. I mean,
I think we need still to focus did, on right? I mean,
yeah, we did.
We did.
We still did. Just like, with, I mean, it directly ties to everything that's happening right now. Everything that you said in that was all a part of this conversation, and is valid. So, I mean, I Cody, thank you for coming on. You know, really appreciate it, and you know, we'll have to do it again.
For sure, yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me. It was a, I think it was a really great conversation. So
I enjoyed it too. Have a great day, both of you, and we'll talk soon.
See ya
later.